The reading today is from Luke 5, verse 27. I fill in all the gaps, don't I? That's what I am. I'm just a gopher. Luke 5, verse 27. Oh, I'll just have a top up of John. Needed that. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And they said to him, "The disciples of John fast often and offer prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink." And Jesus said to them, "Can you make wedding guests fast whilst the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." He also told them a parable. "No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skin, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new, for he says, 'The old is good.'" Amen.
Thanks, Tricia. Yes, I completely forgot to ask someone to do the reading this morning and handed it to Trish just then. Last time I spoke from the Gospel of Luke, you'll know if you come here regularly that I'm preaching through the Gospel of Luke. Last time when I spoke about some of those verses that Trisha just read to us, that Jesus loves outcasts, he loves sinners, and he loves despised people, praise God. Today I want to speak about don't hold on to the past when Jesus is doing something new. Amen? Don't hold on to the past when Jesus is doing something new. You know, many people find change difficult, don't they? They want to hold on to the past, the things that they are used to, they want to hold on to. The things that are familiar to us are precious, and we love the traditions of the past and old habits and old lifestyles. Some of us are facing struggles with the changes that we are facing as a church. You know, some of you never wanted to move from the old onion factory where we used to worship. And now, they didn't want to come then to St. Stephen's. And now they don't want to leave St. Stephen's and go to Spittle Hill. You know, we're like that, aren't we? We grow used to the familiar. We don't like change. And to some extent, we all struggle with new things. We want to hold on to the familiar. And Jesus says in these verses, don't hold on to the past when Jesus is doing something new. And it's a really important lesson. And Jesus gives three little illustrations in verses 33 to 39. First of all, don't be a party pooper. Verses 33 to 35. You never knew that the Bible said that, did you? But it does. You know, some people love to spoil a party, don't they? And we call them party poopers. You're enjoying a party, you're enjoying a celebration, you're enjoying a great feast, and someone spoils it by being controversial, or by arguing, or by criticizing, or by getting into a fight. And you know, this is what is happening in Luke chapter 5, verses 33 to 39. Jesus and the disciples are enjoying a celebration feast at Levi's house. Levi, the tax collector, has just repented of his sins. He's become a Christian. He's thrown this great feast. People have been healed and delivered by Jesus. There's this great feast going on. There's great joy. There's a great party going on. And Jesus and his disciples are just tucking into their chicken drumsticks and kosher dips. When the Pharisees criticize them and say they shouldn't be feasting, in fact, they shouldn't be eating at all, they shouldn't be celebrating, they should be fasting. You should be fasting. Nothing spoils the taste of a chicken drumstick like people telling you you shouldn't be eating it. You shouldn't be eating anything. You should be fasting. You see, the Pharisees have already tried to spoil this party by saying that Jesus shouldn't be mixing with the tax collectors and sinners. He shouldn't even be there because of the other company that are there. Now they criticize Jesus for eating and feasting. And the battle here between Jesus and the Pharisees is not really about fasting. It's all about religion. Religion is a horrible thing. It really is. Religion is following man-made rules and regulations and traditions to try and impress God. And you know what? God is never impressed. And religion forces people to do certain things, to follow certain rules, to follow certain traditions in order to try and climb up to God. It's a horrible, horrible thing. Whereas Jesus, in this story, is all about, in fact, Jesus in his person was all about God doing a new thing. God invading earth. God working in power on the earth. God on a rescue mission to save people, to save mankind from sin. God bringing a new way to God, a new covenant, a new relationship with God through Jesus. And Jesus says here, the bridegroom has arrived. You can't fast at a wedding. You know, imagine going, we've got a number of weddings coming up this year, imagine accepting the invitation, and you know, you've got the reception, and Paul and Sally have paid a fortune for the food and everything else, and you say, oh, well, no, I can't take it today. I'm too holy, I'm fasting. I'm fasting. I'm closer to God than you are. I'm going to fast. So I won't eat anything. In fact, Paul and Sally would, if you are going to do that, then do let them know in advance because it will save them a lot of money. You see, you can't fast at a wedding. It's a celebration with the happy couple. And the Pharisees are angry that Jesus and his disciples are breaking their man-made rules and traditions. What right has Jesus to do a new thing? Who does he think he is? Does he think he's God himself? Does he think he's the Messiah? Well, yes, actually. He does. That's what he's saying. He's saying the Messiah has come. The Savior of the world is here. He's here on earth. And they are fighting him over their religious rules and traditions. You know, when God is present with us, when we are seeing God working in power, we cannot fast. We need to feast and celebrate. When we are seeking God, when we are going through a phase of life where we're struggling to see where God is at and what God is doing at this time, that is the time to fast, to seek him, and to ask him to break in that situation. You see, God is the God of new life. God is looking to do a new thing in your life. Isn't that exciting? You know, God is always looking to do a new thing in your life, in my life, in the life of this church. And you know, he's a dynamic, working God. That is something to celebrate. There will come a time for the disciples when the bridegroom is hanging on the cross. There'll be a time for the disciples when he's buried in the tomb. There'll be a time for the disciples when they need his forgiveness because they deserted him and ran away. That is the time to fast. There will be times in our lives when we need forgiveness, when we struggle with circumstances, when we struggle to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit with us. That is the time to fast. But we're fasting in order that he may fill us with his Holy Spirit. That example of the cup and the jug there. Don't try to restrict and criticize what Jesus is doing in other people's lives. Praise God for what he's doing. Don't try and criticize and restrict what God is doing in the life of his church. Get on board and get excited by what he's doing. Don't allow your expectations of Jesus to be governed by human rules and traditions. Don't restrict the new work Jesus wants to do in your life, what he wants to do in my life and in our church. On Wednesday, as I said earlier, I will be attending my mother's funeral. She was a very elderly lady. But you know, every woman who attends my mother's funeral will have to wear a dress and a hat. And we're already having lots of laughs over what Trisha's going to wear. And our eldest daughter is going to wear. When we go to the chapel, they call their church the chapel, no one will be allowed to speak inside the chapel. The 93-year-old pastor will lead the service in exactly the same way as 150 years ago. It'll be led exactly the same way. They'll even have the same hymns they would have had 150 years ago. Nothing new is allowed. Nothing new is allowed. My older brother and myself are both pastors, but neither of us are allowed to take any part in my mother's funeral because we do not follow the old rules and traditions of that sect. None of us here would be allowed to take communion in that chapel because we do not follow their rules and traditions. Therefore, we're not really saved. We're not really Christians. God is not allowed to do anything new in their lives or in their churches unless he conforms to their rules and their traditions. That is an extreme example. But you know, we can all hold on, can't we, to man-made rules and traditions. We can all judge others by them. Second point. So first point, don't be a party pooper. Second, don't try and add Jesus to your old life. Verse 36. Jesus told them a parable. No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. Jesus says, if you go and buy a new pair of Jewish Levi jeans, don't cut up the new pair of jeans, because they'll cost you a lot of money. Don't cut up the new pair of jeans to patch up the old ones. I mean, this is even more relevant nowadays, isn't it? Because you actually, young people nowadays, pay for jeans which have got rips in them and everything else. You know, it's incredible, isn't it? There's only half the jeans actually there, and they're manufactured like that, and they pay a fortune for them. But forget about that for a moment. But, you know, if you've gone and bought a brand new pair of Levi jeans, whatever you do, don't start cutting them up in order to patch the old one. That's what Jesus is saying. He says that's stupid. Because you will ruin the new jeans you've just bought, and when you wash the old ones, the new patch will break away from the old denim. Jesus says in these verses, God is doing a new thing. He is bringing in a new covenant, a new testament, yet it builds on the old. But it mustn't be controlled by the old. That's so important. If you repent of your sin, if you believe in Jesus, if you've been born again by the Spirit, you are a new creation. Praise God. Amen? Praise God, you're a new creation. You have been made new. That's what the New Testament tells us. You have been transformed. You have a new set of clothes to wear. Don't try and add your new Christian life onto your old pre-Christian life. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this old life, but be transformed, as Paul says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Colossians 3, Paul again says in verses 5 to 17, he says, put to death your old life. Don't try and mix it. Put to death your old life. Put to death sexual immorality and impurity and evil desires and covetousness and idolatry. Put off the old person you once were, but put on the new person Jesus has made you to be. Put on the new life of Jesus. Put on compassion, put on kindness, put on humility, Paul says. Put on patience, put on forgiveness. Above all, put on love and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And so he goes on in those verses. You know, I sadly know many people who have become Christians and they've tried to add Jesus onto their old life. They haven't put off their old life. They've held on to past sins, past lifestyles, and past habits. And you know what happens? When they face challenges, when they face disappointments, they discard Jesus. And they return to their old ways. Jesus wants to do a radical new thing in your life. And in my life too. But it involves complete repentance, not partial. It involves complete repentance. It involves total transformation into a new way of living. Don't try and add Jesus onto your old life. And then thirdly and finally, don't try and contain God's work, God's new work in old structures. Jesus says, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled. And the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. In Jesus' day, wine was really important. That may feel a little bit uncomfortable for some of you, but wine was really, really important in Jesus' day. It was a symbol of God's provision. It was a symbol of God's blessing. And in the New Testament, it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And wine was a vitally important part of Jewish worship. Jewish festivals, Jewish feasts, including the Passover feast that became the Last Supper and then became the communion we celebrate today, all involved the use and the drinking of wine. In Jesus' day, wine was stored and fermented in goats or sheep skins. That's why it talks about wineskins. And you know, new wine was put into a new skin because the new skin was supple. So as the wine fermented and the gases were released, because fermentation produces gases, so the skins, the new skins, would stretch to contain the fermented wine. Once the fermented wine had been drunk from a skin, that skin could only be used to store old wine that was already fermented. If you put new wine into old wine skins, when the fermentation process took place to create that wine, and when the gases expanded, the old wine skins couldn't stretch to contain the wine and the gases. And the wine skins would burst, and both the wineskin and the wine would be lost, be destroyed. Jesus is saying in these verses, I am doing a new thing. I am bringing the new wine of the kingdom. Don't try and squeeze the new wine into your old structures. It will break them. And you will lose the precious new wine of Jesus' kingdom. Create new structures, creates, it applies to us individually, that we give space for the new wine of Jesus to grow and develop in our lives, but it also relates to the church as well. Create new structures, create new forms of worship to contain God's new wine. New structures can expand and develop to the shape and the growth of the new thing that God is doing. It can develop into the container for the exciting, dynamic, new work of God in our lives. And that's what we need. In the first pandemic lockdown, I felt God saying something prophetic about new wine and new wineskins. You know, we have prayed, Christians in this nation, Christians across the world, we have prayed, haven't we, for many, many years. I go right back to my earliest days as a Christian, and we were praying for revival. We were praying that the Lord would shake the nations. And we've been praying that the Lord would shake the nations and there would be a mighty turning back to God. What we were really praying was, Lord, please shake the nations, but please don't shake the church. You know, we're not sure we can cope with that, with him shaking the church. And so we said, Lord, shake the nations, shake the world out there. The problem is the pandemic shook not just the nations. It's shaken the church. And I believe God wants to shake the church. And I believe the church needs shaking. Amen? The church needs shaking. You go to some churches and they're just like my parents' church. They're doing things exactly the same as they did 150 years ago. And boy, do they need something shaking if they're going to change and adapt. And you know, Jesus wants us as a church and as a people to create new wineskins for the new wine of the post-pandemic season, because God is doing a new thing. There's been a big shift. And I believe Jesus is shaking the church out of their buildings and out into the community to fulfill that great commission to go and make disciples of all nations. For too long we have said, come, when Jesus actually commanded us to go, didn't he? He called us to go and make disciples, not to spend all our time inviting them and saying, please come to our little nice holy huddle here, and maybe you'll enjoy it and you'll become a church member. It's not about becoming a church member, it's about people's lives being transformed, isn't it? It's about people dynamically encountering the living power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm excited that we have created some new wineskins. Yeah, we're still asking people to come. But we're also, by being in Burngreave, we're being a presence there. And that's important as well. But we do need to be going out as well. But we've launched, haven't we, the new Rock Welcome Church that will be happening this afternoon. A cafe-style church we run on a Sunday afternoon. Yes, we're still asking people to come, but we're making the good news of Jesus accessible to those who would struggle to access our normal services, those who are food bank clients and debt center clients and lighthouse clients, those who are homeless, those who are rootless, those who are struggling with mental health issues, can come into a place which is welcoming, which is not a service like this, which is not church in inverted commas, but is very really church for the lost, for the needy. We need to be doing more of that. That's why I'm excited that we've been able to do that. I'm excited that God shook us out of the onion factory. We weren't very comfortable there anyway. It was very smelly. And you know, God is shaking us out. I'm excited that during the pandemic, when many churches were closing down their outreach projects, we expanded the food bank. We started the Burngreave Cap Debt Centre. We started the English Club, teaching people English as an outreach. We've relaunched the Lighthouse Ministry as soon as we could, feeding and caring for the homeless and the needy and the addicts in the community. And I'm excited that we're moving our church services back into Burngreave. I'm excited in some ways, worried sick as well, but I'm excited that we're moving the church into a building that's too small for us. That seems daft to me, but it's how the Lord has worked it. It's a challenge to us. What new wineskins does Jesus want us to create that will contain the new wine of his kingdom, the new work of the Holy Spirit in these days? So Jesus says, don't hold on to the past when I'm doing something new. Whether that is in your personal life, whether that is in your growth group, the small groups, whether it's in the ministry that you're involved in, whether it's the children's ministry or the ministry to the senior people, whether it's a ministry to whatever. Don't hold on to the past when I'm doing something new. Whether it's this church. It's so important as a church we don't hold on to the past. We haven't got a very long past, but you know, it's amazing how traditions can develop over 22 years. 22 years is quite a long time. We get used to doing things certain ways, don't we? We get used to certain people in church and we begin to think, well, I'm not sure that we want these uncomfortable people to come into our church. That's not, shouldn't be the way. Don't hold on to the past when I'm doing something new, because we don't want to miss out on the new wine of God's powerful work, the new wine of his Spirit, by trying to contain God and his work in our old structures, in our old traditions, in our old rules, in our old regulations. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, as we've seen and as John Bayer has brought to us this picture of the jug and the cup, Lord, would you pour out your Spirit upon us today? Lord, would you so pour out your Spirit that, Lord, you begin a new work in our hearts, a new work in our lives, a new work in our communities. Lord, a new work in your church, Lord, we pray. Come, Lord Jesus. Pour out your Spirit. Lord, help us not to hold on to the past. Help us not to hold on to tradition. Lord, help us, Lord, to know your presence, to know your power in our lives, Lord, we pray. Lord, do a new thing. Pour out your new wine, Lord, and help us to embrace it and not to criticize it, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.